Thank you. Good to be with you again. Just to share something of what the Lord has done in my life and what he can do in others as well. I'm going to read two verses, or at least two different passages. Psalm 66, verse 16. And it simply says there, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." That's what a testimony is, really. We're telling, we're declaring what the Lord has done for our souls. And then the words of Paul to the letter of Galatia, Church of Galatia, Galatians chapter 1. Verse 15 and 16 really sums up my testimony. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, therefore I conferred not with flesh and blood." That's a wee summary of my testimony as Paul could write those words. Let's just unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy goodness toward us already this Sabbath day. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to meet with the Bible class. And Father, we pray that thou would bless our time this afternoon. And we thank you, Lord, we can come and tell forth all that the Lord has done for us. We pray that thou would bless this word of testimony to each heart. Meet with us. Come, Lord, and be one of our number. We welcome thee in. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I have to commence by speaking of my upbringing. And invariably, when you're giving a word of testimony, you will use the word "my" a lot of times. But my testimony is not about me, but what the Lord has done by his grace. And that included my upbringing, because I was brought up in a home where mom and dad were saved. Christian home. A place called Portadown. Don't expect you to know that. But it is roughly in the center of the province. Where I minister is on the east coast now. But an hour inward, inland, is a place called Portadown. I was brought up on a small farm. My father enjoyed working with cows, with cattle, and we often had to milk the cows by hand and reared the calves, etc. He was also by trade a mechanic, so he worked for a Ford company, a few miles in the town, and that's what he was by trade. But he always had this hobby as a farm, as a cow. So that's the way I was brought up, mother and father. And there is a picture of our family. And that was just taken about 18 months ago. My father has passed away in 2010. And he was 84 years of age. This is at a wedding. So our family consists of three brothers. I have two brothers. And each one of us have a sister. Understand? Now, I say that because my father was one of 12. 12. So when people asked him, "How many's in your family?" He said, "I have 10 brothers and each one of them have a sister." And they started to count. 20? No. So there was 12 of them, one girl, she was the eldest, and then 11 boys. So, and she could hold her own. She could hold her own girl, so don't worry about her. Well, I'm the baby. I'm the youngest on the right-hand side. I have two elder brothers, and then the oldest in the family is my sister. I want you to pray for her. She's going through treatment for cancer at the minute, for a second time, and she's not saved. And you pray that the Lord will have mercy upon her and speak to her heart at this time. She's called Rhoda in the scriptures. My mother is still living. And if the Lord spares her to June, the end of June, she'll be 90 years of age. She's not too well at the minute. She was in hospital before I come out, but thank the Lord she came out of the hospital and she's in a nursing care. But she's able still to walk. And she'll be 90 at the end of June. So that is a picture just of the family. Now, we were brought up in a Christian home, as I said. Both parents were saved. We were brought up in what is called the Irish Presbyterian Church, the largest Protestant church in Ireland. But the Irish Presbyterian Church today is not what it was 50 years ago. My parents, when they got married, they both left the Episcopalian Church, Church of Ireland, they call it. But you would know you have an Episcopalian church here, the cathedral or whatever. But they left at that time of marriage and they went around various places until they came to the Irish Presbyterian Church, which they joined. And it was under an evangelical minister who was there for a long time. And that's what he was brought up into. And we were sent to church both twice on the Lord's Day and then also twice to Sunday school. So there's a Sunday school about 10:30 in the morning. And then in the afternoon, there's another Sunday school. And when I became a little older, I was able to ride the bike. I had to ride the bike 3 miles into the town to the church to go to that afternoon Sunday school. And we weren't given the option. You were sent. That's how it was back then. I wish it was the same back now in my country, but today many parents don't send their children out to Sunday school. They just ask them, well, do you want to go away, Johnny? No, I don't want to go. All right. That said it. But we were sent, and we were nurtured in the gospel. And so, apart from that, and apart from those meetings, Sunday night, we would often have went to a gospel mission. Do you have missions here? Yep. So there's special evangelical times, and we would often have been brought, Mom and Dad would have brought us to missions. And sometimes those missions were in mission halls, or would have been in tents, and large crowds would have come. I can give you names that will make no sense to you because you'll probably not know them, but maybe your pastor will. Boland and Grant were two evangelists. I was often found under their ministry. And one of them in particular, going out the door, he would buttonhole you. He would say, are you saved? And sometimes people say, oh, yes, yes, and away they went, just to get away. But they were used of God. Then we had a man called Willie Mullen. Willie Mullen was a famous evangelist, and he saw great work done as well. Well, I had the joy as a child of being brought every harvest time to where they sold the cattle. And they had a cattle ring. And he stood where the auctioneer stood, and he preached on the Lord's Day, around the harvest time. And he preached to the men that would congregate him. Father brought me to hear him. He was a famous man. Mr. Ferguson will know who I'm talking about. There's also another evangelist, and he was by the name of Sam Workman. Sam Workman was a congregational minister, but he was also a very active evangelist, and he would have conducted missions up and down the land. And men and women, I want to say this, that there was a fear of God in those meetings. Sadly, that's missing in Ulster today. But there's a fear of God. Fear of God among the ungodly. Many a night, many a time I come out of such meetings, brought up in the gospel, brought into church faithfully, brought to mission, but not saved. And I knew it. And I knew that I couldn't hold on to the coattails of my mother and father to get me into heaven. Understand? Or my coming to church didn't get me to heaven. I had to know that personal salvation myself, that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a fear of God, many of those meetings. And there's a fear of the Lord coming back. I'm not ready. And I knew Mom and Dad would be away and I would be left. Two brothers saved as well. And so that's the environment. When I've come here, people have asked me, what age are you? What age? I was with a dear woman yesterday, or the other day, Friday maybe, and she thought I was younger than your pastor. And she's a great friend of mine. And she always will be. She's a very discerning woman. But I'm 5 years older than your pastor. I'm 51. And I was born in 1967. 1967 is significant back in the UK. Do you know why? Because in 1967, the government brought in a bill for abortion. And especially in the mainland, England, Scotland, Wales. But that's when that bill, and that bill is still held to this day. They voted to kill children in the womb, 1967. But I was brought into a home where that wouldn't have been entertained. And the children were looked upon as a gift of God and from the Lord. And so I trust that gives you a little bit of the background. I go a little bit further in time until I was 11 years of age. One of these missions. It happened to be in our own church, but it was conducted by that man I mentioned, Sam Workman. And I remember being there many nights. And it came to the last Friday night, and I was troubled. I knew the Lord striving with me on the Tuesday night. I can remember that particularly. And there was a distraction after the meeting was over, and we were taken somewhere else. But the Lord strove on. And the Friday night, remember what he preached? He preached in this. Be sure your sin will find you out. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So there's two verses there, one from the Old, one from the New Testament. And that's what he preached. And God troubled me. And I left that meeting and I went home. I was shy, still am. And so I wouldn't have waited behind. But I went home, I went to my bedroom, and there I knelt down on the bedside, and I asked the Lord into my heart to save me by his grace and to forgive me for my sin and to take me in as his own. And the Lord saved me. 17th of November, 1978. So I'm 40 years on the road and the Lord has never let me down and never will. And we rejoice in his goodness toward us. Now, sadly, I have to say that after that, there was very little encouragement for a young man within that church, Presbyterian Church, to go to the prayer meetings. It wasn't heard tell of, really. And so there was very few young people that I would have known that would have been going to the prayer meetings. And because of that, I didn't grow as I should have. And so therefore, I didn't learn early on that once the Lord saves you, he keeps you. Can't be lost. And I had great troubles about that because I hadn't been taught. And so there wasn't that encouragement, there wasn't that growth, and we lost out. And we lost out to the extent that we grew cold. You can grow cold, backslidden. Doesn't say you're in the pub or that you're in the gambling dens or schools, but you can grow cold. I grew cold, and the Lord had to deal with me in a very particular manner. And that was a manner which was pretty severe. I want you to appreciate I was about 13 years of age now. Come home from school one day, Friday, I think it was the afternoon. Come into the house, my sister standing there. Now, that never happened. She was never there. My mother, I should tell you, was a seamstress. So ladies, she would have made you lovely dresses. You brought the material to her. She got the tape out and she measured you. What you wanted, a couple of weeks later, it's made. So she would often have been at the sewing machine doing a little work. But she was in tears. I said, what's wrong? And the news that I was told as a young boy was my cousin, who was a lovely girl. She lived about 30, 40 miles away from us, up near Bangor, Newton Ards. She went to school this day, and after one or two, three periods or so, break time came along, and she went home just across the road with her friend. And she sat down in that friend's house, and she was dead. 15 years of age. 15 years of age. Lovely girl. So, like some of you girls, a long, long hair. But Christine was saved. And I knew that. And she often would have sang in churches Independent Methodist circles, particularly with her stepmother. And I knew that she was gone to be with the Lord. But that spoke to me. That troubled me. And so through that, the Lord drew us back to himself. And I thank God for the years that followed, because I was to have great friends and good company. And young people, I would say to you, seek to have good company. Pray that the Lord will give you good friends. It means a lot. And so as I went from the ordinary school exams up into O-levels, or GCSEs they call them now, and A-levels, I had good company. And those guys that I accompanied about with, run about with, I still would be in touch with some of them. And they were Christians, they were saved. And we helped each other along. Now, some of them didn't go to my church, but they were saved men. And I thank God for them, even to this day. And through those days, we learned to trust the Savior. We learned to trust God more and more. And we learned to trust God for the things in life, decisions that had to be made, what career I was going to do. Trust God through the school days. And I left school after my A-levels. I didn't really want to go to university, which was, I particularly was in the minority. But I didn't want, I said, I have enough exams. Well, the Lord took some laugh at that when I go on to tell you about that. But I came out of school after A-levels. I became a manager of a filling station, petrol station, and all that went with it. And we worked there for a time. And had great opportunities to speak to people. We then went to work for a guy who sold fruit wholesale. So he would bring the fruit from the market, and then sellers and shopkeepers would come in and we would sell to them. And I did a little bit of bookkeeping for him. So the Lord was guiding my steps, even through careers. But you know, even at that time, as I look back, there was still a wee void in my heart. I could have said to you, I'll not be here 20 years. I wasn't that content. Yes, it was a job. We did it to the best of our ability. And the Lord gave opportunities, but there's still that little void. And the Lord gave us that discontentment, I believe, because he was showing us a different path to go down. Now, the Lord not only directs your steps in life and in career and school, but he also directs your steps in relationships. And young people, you need to pray. Older people need to pray about relationships. And I had a few girlfriends. We're not moving on here, PG. Right. That's the next one. So, we had a few girlfriends, but here's something where you need to pray. The Lord to guide you, and that you know his will. And it came to pass that one Sunday evening, this lady walked into the church, and she was a stranger, never seen her before. She was wearing a yellow suit from top to bottom. So she stood out. Just like a yellow, like a duck. Yellow. All right, good job she's not here. But This is the woman that the Lord brought into my life. Now, don't do what I did. Some of you young people, just listen to what I said, but that doesn't necessarily say you do what I did. I was engaged after 7 weeks. Well, now I'm married 30 years, so not too bad. But don't take that as the rule. You know, lengthen it out a bit. But I was engaged after 7 weeks, and we were married after a year and a half. And we got married on the last day of the old year. Ah, not good. So we started a new year in married life. Now, her name is Sheree, S-H-E-R-E-E. And she went to Dungannon Free Presbyterian Church. She wasn't a member. But the family left a few years before left the Church of Ireland, Episcopalian. Her father and mother were backslidden, but he knew things weren't right, and so he took them. And she's one of eight by the way, 8 children. And there's only 2 girls. She's the oldest girl, the younger girl. So they left and they went to Dungannon. And within a few Sundays, within a few days of going out with her and meeting her, I went with her. And it was a great welcome. And the singing was different. And the preaching was different. And it was at that time that I was starting to understand things a bit better. And I was starting to understand the apostasy within my old church. And just prior to meeting Cherie, they came back one time from the General Assembly and they said, we're changing part of the Westminster Confession of Faith. And that raised the alarm bells in my head, even though I didn't understand all about the Confession of Faith, but I knew there's something not right there. And so it was this time that we started to get away, edge away. And I was involved with youth work and Boys Brigade, etc. So it was that time where we started to get away. We went to the Free Church and we were separated. And when during our engagement, we had to discuss things. And I think it's one of the most important things you need to discuss in that time before you get married is where you're going to worship. I've had family members that have left Northern Ireland, went to Scotland because of their business, because of farming. But you know what they missed out on? The church. They never thought, where are we going to worship? And both those men, those young fellows, those cousins of mine, they both sold up and come back because they missed the church. Missed place to send the children when the children came along. And so we discussed, where are we going to go when we get married? And before God, I said to her, we're going to the Free Church. And so when we come back from honeymoon, I got in to the prayer meetings. Love to go to the early morning prayer meeting, particularly on Friday morning. And we had good elders there. And they taught us many things, a good minister. And we became members. Both of us became members on the same day. And men and women, the Lord was to guide us and bless us. And blessed us with 3 boys. Now, that's a few years ago now. And my eldest on the right is very like me because his hair colouring was the same when I was at school, very auburn, although I lost most of it now. That's what the ministry does to you. You're your father, you know. So we have Joel on the right-hand side, and then we have Stephen in the middle. He's the youngest, and then we have David on the left-hand side. And the Lord blessed us with 3 boys. Now, these are more up-to-date pictures. This is Joel at his birthday. And 2 of his sons. This is now David. I should say that Joel is an electrician. And he has his own business. Need any lights fixed? He's your man. David is a farrier. You might say, what's that? Well, he works with horses. He makes horseshoes. Fits them onto the horses. And he shows the horse that is called Clydesdale, big horse, lovely horse. So he shows them, and he's in the process of buying a wee farm. And this is Stephen now. He's the youngest. And Stephen is the one who is closest to us in terms of geography. And he works in a factory in Kilkeel, and that factory makes airline seats. So I came over to Nepal and Singapore, to Nepal by Qatar. I'm going home by Qatar Airways. He says to me, we make those seats. Singapore Airlines, we make those seats. Yeah. He says, good seat. So it's a big factory. There's maybe 900 workers in it. And it is a very interesting thing that Northern Ireland, I think there's 2/3 of all the seats of the airplanes come from us. So remember that next time you sit them. Probably from Northern Ireland, probably from Kilkeel. So he's over a line of men, and he's seeking maybe to rise up again in the business. So the Lord has blessed us with the 3 boys, and we thank God for them. Now, here's the 2 men, the wee men. So my oldest son is married to Michelle, and he has 2 wee boys. It's very scarce girls in our family, as you're starting to see. Not too many girls, only my wife. So here is Reuben on the left, and then Jacob. And Reuben's about 5, Jacob's 3. and they're a pair of boys. They're good friends with each other, and it's lovely to see them growing up. They go to one of our churches up the country a bit, which I'll tell you about in just a moment. I bring you back to Dungannon. After getting married, so forth, getting into the Word, growing. And at that time, I played a wee bit of amateur football. So it was an amateur league in our town, and I was part of one of the teams. Not that I tell you that I'm a good footballer, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I've got too old for the football, and so I play a wee bit of golf now. And I enjoy that, although I'm not that good about that either. But the problem was this. My football team's training night was on the same night as the prayer meeting night. And men and women, I tried to juggle it. I would go to the football training once Tuesday night, and then the next week I would go to the prayer meeting. But you know, the Bible tells us we can't do that. In terms of this, you can't serve God and mammon. It doesn't work. And I was to learn that. And so pre-season came around again. They start early in August to get ready for the season starting about the end of August or so. And I arrived for the training this night. I was going to the training this night. And I arrived at the pitches. Nobody there. I was in good time. Nobody there. I made a phone call. I said, no training on tonight. Oh, yes, there is. Nobody turned up. I waited maybe 5 minutes. I said, I'm not waiting here. So what I did was I drove back home again, maybe another 7 miles, got off the sports gear, got on my suit, went to the prayer meeting. Arrived before 8 o'clock. At that prayer meeting, our minister was on holiday, and he often would have put the elders in charge. And so one of the elders was in charge this night, and he was just, oh, we would say a bag of nerves. You know, not confident at all. Although, you know, he was a Sunday school teacher, but he didn't like standing up in the prayer meeting. And so he turned it around. He says, we're going to have a time of prayer first. And so we had a long time of prayer first. And then I'll bring a wee word. I said, I've been up half the night trying to get this word together. But dear people, he mentioned two books and of a missionary theme. One of them was to do with C.T. Studd. Or Hudson Taylor, maybe it was. I don't remember much of what he said, but I do remember this. He talked about going and serving the Lord. And men and women, it wouldn't have mattered how many were there. That message was for me. Me. But going into full-time work. And I went home troubled. And the Lord was to confirm that call some weeks later. I was praying over this. What did this all mean? And I was praying over it. In the month of September, the Lord guided me in my own readings to Matthew 4, verse 19. The Lord said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that, I believe, was the Lord's call for me to go into the ministry. I spoke to my minister about what procedures or qualifications were needed to get into the Whitfield College of the Bible. That's our Bible college back in Northern Ireland. And it turned out that I had all the exams. Praise the Lord. I didn't need to do any entrance exams. I had them there. And so I made application to the presbytery and I was accepted. And we commenced our studies in the Whitfield College September 1990. Now, I said to you way back that when I come out of my state school, had finished my A-levels, I threw up the head and said, that's me done with exams. No. Well, the Lord said to it that we had another 70 or 80 exams to do before we got out of the Whitfield. But it was good times. We enjoyed the fellowship of the brethren there, and it was good stuff. That's the difference, you see. You're doing subjects in the state school, you don't really like it. And you're saying to yourself, where am I going to use that? But you get into the Bible. Bible survey and exegesis. It's good stuff. Thank God for the professors and teachers that taught us. And so, a 4-year course. the first 2 years are full time, and the next 2 years are 2 days a week. And we do the core subjects. I also did 2 years of Greek and 2 years of Hebrew language as well. And so come that time, men and women, we are to the point where you're thinking, where am I going to be now? There's a security when you're in the Bible college. You know you're going to be there next week or the next week. But then suddenly comes the fourth year, it's near the end. And that security goes. And you're depending on the Lord to guide you, to open up a door. And bear in mind that when I was in the college, there was 35 men in that class. That was big. There were only about 20 at the minute. And a big class. And these men were all the same place, all the same idea. Needed churches, doors to open up. We just don't walk in. We've got to have a call of the Lord. And so, at that time, the Lord was to guide us to a little place called Ardara. And I should show you, that's also my wife's mother. So that's my mother-in-law. You don't get married without a mother-in-law. Yeah. So you better get on well with a mother-in-law. And I get on well with my mother-in-law. She's 81. Sadly, Cherie's father passed away about 18 months ago. He was 80. And we thank God for them. That's just the scene of the mourns. It's called Spelgadam. And that's a big reservoir on top of the mountain. You can drive round that. And the far side there, you drop down. It's called the S, as we twisty road. And that's where the dam is. But the Lord was calling me. The Lord called me to a little place called Ardara. And Ardara is just about maybe 8 miles away from that there, over the far side. So the far side of the mountains. And it's just a country church. I was speaking to some of the young people, they were there from youth fellowship yesterday. And they will know what I mean. Not a shop about the place. No post office. Nothing. Town is about 3 miles away. But there was a wee congregation there. And there was about 40 when I went. And we got out on the ground, and by the Lord's help, we saw that congregation grow. A very young congregation, and a lot of young people. And we had good times. And we were there from 1994, November 94. So I come out of college, was licensed to preach in September, October, actually, of 94. And then the next month, we were in Ardara, and the Lord had opened a door for me. And we were ordained later on. We went as licentiate assistant to one of our senior men, but I had this congregation for myself. And then we were ordained in June 96. And we spent 7.5 years there until the Lord called us to a place called Garva in 2002. Now, if you look at a map of Northern Ireland, Garva is right up at the top, near Coleraine, near Portrush, some of the tourist areas. And so the Lord called me to a little place called Garva in 2002. And we ministered there just shy of 10 years. And again, we saw a work done for the Lord. I was able to get into the university there as the chaplain. And we were able to meet with the students as well. Garva is pivotal because when the Lord called me away from Garva to come to my present congregation, my boys were at that age that they couldn't move. So my oldest fella and my middle fella, they stayed behind. And that was difficult and still is difficult. It's a 2-hour drive for us. It's not like good roads that you have in Singapore. But it's 2 hours through twisty roads, etc. So we don't always get up to see them that much. My wife is up there this weekend to be with them to see the grandchildren. But Joel and David stayed. And then sometime later, Joel got married, and he has now a little house of his own. The other fella is not married. The other two boys are not married, although the youngest boy, he is a girlfriend, and they sing the gospel together. So men and women, we appreciate your prayers, and that the Lord might bless the children. And they're always children, even though they're grown up, and we thank God for them, but they are 2 hours away. And so we came down from Garva, 2 hours south, near the border with the south of Ireland, and the Lord called us to mourn. Now, that's just a picture of the background. That is the Silent Valley. And you can see the mountains in the background. The man standing in the picture is actually a preacher from the Czech Republic. He's called Miloš Šulc. He's actually preaching for me this Sabbath morning. He's over in Northern Ireland. But this man was trained in Bob Jones University, and he wanted to go back to his own people in the Czech Republic and start a witness there. And so he was with us one time before, and I brought him up to show him the scenery and in the kingdom of Mourn. This is our house, as Paul would remember it. This is where much of his childhood was, this house, and the church then is to the left of the picture. Now, it doesn't look like that now because we took down the hedge. The hedge was dying, and so we ripped it out, and we just have the wall now and shrubs along it. So there's a big change. So that's there's the view looking up the other way. You see the mountains, and that's called Binion. One mountain under is called Binion. We Binion beside it. And there's a lot of people. I have a woman in the congregation. She climbs that maybe two or three times a week. Maybe 7 o'clock in the morning, wearing the dogs up to the top and down again. I don't know what age, never asked women their age, is a dangerous thing. But she's rightly on. But that's the scene that we have from the front garden now. This is the church building, as your pastor has already shown you. Nearly five years ago, the end of this year, we did a renovation. I didn't know anything about this when I came, but suddenly the men said, you know, we're thinking of putting a renovation job, and we need to do a few changes. Well, the changes just extended. So we put on this whole side piece, and we extended the back as well. We took the back wall out, moved the pulpit back 10 feet or more, and we put a gallery in it for the back of the church, or the front of the church. And so we did a lot of renovations, and that was all paid for within 3 years, less than 3 years. It came to a total of about 400,000 or slightly more, and the Lord was good to us. The building to the right is our Sunday school complex, and also downstairs, is our Christian school. So that's where our school meets. And this is a little picture of the school group just about a year ago. There were about 24 in the school, our Christian school, all Christian teachers, teaching them the Word of God. And your pastor was a former pupil of it. And they go through the same curriculum. And apart from English books, etc., they're vetted because you couldn't put an English book in front of some of the children because of the storylines and the bad words in them. And so those are vetted. But we have a good Christian school and good teachers there, and we thank God for them. This is Let the Bible Speak logo that I mentioned to you earlier on. And this is a new venture. We're not only going on the TV and radio, but we've opened a wee shop in a town in Banbridge. Now, I show you that, not only that you can recognize the logo. So if you go on to the internet and you put in ltbs.tv, you will see our radio ministry. And the same logo is found there. And I also show you because my wife is the manager of that shop. And she took on that work. She used to work as a Marie Curie nurse, looking after cancer patients, etc., at night. But she did that for 7.5 years, and it's very taxing on the body. But she has taken on this work and is doing well. And we're having many conversations with Roman Catholics and people that don't go to church, people don't know anything about the radio ministry. And we're able to share with them the things of the gospel. We do thank God for that open door. Men and women, that is a little synopsis of how the Lord has dealt with my life. It's pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb. He called me by his grace. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of ourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. To reveal his Son in me. Reveal Christ to me, that I might preach him. That's what we're seeking to do, to preach him, preach Christ, and to be those fishers of men. I live beside, as your pastor said, the largest harbour in our country, and the largest fishing fleet is very much depleted now. because of regulations from Europe and all that, but it still is the largest fishing fleet. Its produce is mostly prawns. And so the prawns are brought in, and there's processing factories at the harbour. And I am spiritually a fisherman. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And we've seeking to preach the Lord. And the Lord gives us opportunity, the doors open. I do thank you for your attention. And I pray that you'll remember us, and that you'll remember to pray for us, that the Lord might be pleased to gather in precious souls for whom Christ died. And as those gospel nets are cast forth, that there will be many found therein. I think that's all of my pictures. And I trust and pray the Lord will bless that word of testimony and calling even to your heart today. There may be some here, you know. Might be a young man here and the Lord's calling you into the ministry. Might be a young lady that's been spoken to be a Sunday school teacher or a missionary. The Lord's still calling his servants. The fields are white on the harvest. The laborers are few. But he's still thrusting forth the laborers. May he do it, even from Singapore. What an answer to prayer it would be if I would hear in coming days there's young people from Singapore in our Bible college back in Northern Ireland. That would be tremendous. And the Lord can use you in your own country or elsewhere. Thank you. God bless.